Welcome to the audio ministry of Grove Park Baptist Church in Burlington, North Carolina. We pray you will be blessed by today's message.
I invite you to take your copy of God's Word and turn to Deuteronomy chapter 34. Mark was going to be a chicken, but they ran out of chickens. So he became Jesus. Liza said, as we were sitting out in the pew this morning, she said, "A bow tie wearing chicken." And I said, "I'm Colonel Sanders' worst nightmare." And so, Deuteronomy 34. Would you pray with me? This is the time for grace, and we say amen. Oh God, in this moment of grace, would you give us grace to hear, grace to understand, grace to seize that which you are laying before us, that we may walk in the fullness of who you have called us to be. For we ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. We come to the end of the Moses narrative this morning. And as we come to the end of the Moses narrative in the Pentateuch, inevitably, at least for me, thoughts start flickering around about the end for me. And I think sometimes I, and probably you, wish that we could do everything we want to do. Wish we could accomplish everything we want to accomplish. Wish we could live forever to see what's coming down the pike. To go seize the next mountain that is in front of us. And sometimes God grants that. Sometimes God grants us the greatest wish we have within us. But sometimes God says no. I am fairly confident that Moses' great wish was to go into the promised land. For 40 years he had suffered with, and I will say suffered, he had suffered with the people of Israel, leading them in all of their grumbling and complaining, all their wants to kill him. He had been in some dicey situations, and now he here in the end of Deuteronomy is on the precipice of the promised land, and God says no. Verse 4. And the Lord said to him, "This is the land of which I swore to Abraham, to Isaac, and to Jacob. I will give it to your offspring. I have let you see it with your own eyes, but you shall not go over there." Now, in the instance of Moses, the situation is, according to Exodus 32:51, that Moses had broke faith with God at a couple of points in the desert, and that is why God is not going to allow Moses to enter into the promised land. I also think, though, it is interesting that here they are at this new moment and God brings out a new leader. And I think that's something that we need to understand, that there are times in our life where we are the people who are supposed to do the things that are supposed to be done, but there are other times where God says, no, there's going to be somebody else to follow you. Or God says, no, that's not what you're going to get. You're going to get something better. But we can't always see that in the moment. We get attached to what it is that we want. And we fight. And we get angry with God. And God has simply said, no. It doesn't mean that we've committed some grave sin. It doesn't mean that we have made God angry. Beloved, there are just some instances in our life where God says no. And we have to be okay with that. I have watched folks fight about that. I have watched folks, in my opinion, waste all sorts of money in the pursuit of something that they wanted, and God is continuously telling them to say no. And they just miss it. In what area of frustration in your life today has God said no? And do you have vision for beyond that place? See, because God said no to Moses, God was not saying no to the children of Israel going into the promised land. God allowed Moses to have the vision of what that was going to look like. Verse number 1 of chapter 34 says, then Moses went up from the plains of Moab to Mount Nebo to the top of Pisgah, which is opposite Jericho, and the Lord showed him all the land, Gilead as far as Dan, all Naphtali, the land of Ephraim and Manasseh, all the land of Judah as far as the western sea, the Negev and the plain, that is the valley of Jericho, the city of palm trees as far as Zoar. I don't think that God sort of put, you know, Moses on a hover round and just let him hover around to see all this stuff. This is a vast section of territory. I think God gave Moses the vision, the ability to see all of it. And beloved, God gives us vision. He gives us vision repeatedly to see beyond ourselves, to see beyond this moment, to see beyond into something that is greater and better. Even if we're not going to get to it, God still provides us vision to see. And so let me ask you this morning, how big is your vision? And is it birthed through God? You know, the smaller the vision, the less likely it is that God has birthed it. I have a friend who said for a very long time, he said, you know, if you can explain it, God didn't do it. But if you sit and you've accomplished something and you say, how did this happen? Well, that's probably going to be the hand of God. Beloved, when you look forward in your life, when you look forward into the life of our community of faith, when you look forward into the life of our community at large, do you have a big vision? Do you have a big vision of how God is going to use and to do? Because, beloved, understand, this is God doing. It was God who had set aside the land of Israel for Egypt. It was God who had set aside the land of Canaan for Israel. It was God who had brought them through all this time. It was God who had kept the promise from Abraham to Isaac to Jacob to the captivity through 40 more years. It was God who had performed again and again. It was God who did it. And we can look into the future and see nothing but darkness. But beloved, if you can look and know that if God's done all of this before, God can do things in the future. And you say, God, what do you want me to see? What do you want me to see? Now, beloved, once you grasp that vision, understand that you also just can't have it. You have to have something to meet with it, which is a legacy that will push people forward. Verse 10 of chapter 34 says, "And there has not arisen a prophet since in Israel like Moses, whom the Lord knew face to face. None like him for all the signs and the wonders that the Lord sent him to do in the land of Egypt, to Pharaoh and to all his servants and to all his land, and for all the mighty powers and all the great deeds of terror that Moses did in the sight of all Israel." Beloved, are you living a life that is inspiring those who will follow behind you? Are you living a life that will inspire those who will follow behind you? You know, I think back in our family, and we have multiple people on my side of the family who've done some rather interesting things and done some stories, and I think about their legacy living on, but also at the end of the day think about the fact that I have no children, my brother has no children. And so it comes to an end. But then I think about Scarlett, and I think about other people that I know, and I think about the fact that legacy, through some small portion of what I have done in their life, will live on. Beloved, do you have anybody in your life that you'll live on through? And by the way, beloved, don't think that you can't live on somebody else's that's poured into you because you're not as good as them. That's not the issue here. The issue is for our legacy to be something that we pass on. You see, the text says that Moses saw God and was obedient to God. Joshua will be obedient to God. Joshua will go and work in the hand of God. And so Moses' vision of the promised land, of capturing the promised land, the vision that was passed from Abraham to Isaac to Jacob and Joseph and on and on and on down the line to Moses, is passed off to Joshua. And they go and they take. You say, "Mark, there are things in my past that would nullify me from leaving a legacy." There is, beloved, just a very serious theological thought for that. Hogwash. Hogwash. I don't care what you've done. Moses murdered. Did you understand that? Moses was a murderer. Moses had an anger problem. We can see that with how he interacts with the children of Israel in the desert. Moses has some issues, and yet what does the text state? "And there has not arisen a prophet since in Israel like Moses." In other words, here we go. And you say, "Well, Mark, this was written before Elijah came along." Well, guess what? When Jesus was on the Mount of Transfiguration, even if you want to make the Elijah argument, who's there with Elijah? Moses. Moses. In fact, Moses is the one, he's the prophet who is to come, that Jesus is most closely aligned to theologically. And so, don't tell me, beloved, that what you have done previously nullifies your service to the kingdom of God right now. Don't tell me that what you have done nullifies you leaving a legacy behind in the lives of tens, hundreds, countless thousands. I don't know. You say, "Well, I can only leave the life of the legacy in the life of one person." Well, can you imagine how Martin Luther's mama feels? 500 years after that short German monk went up and nailed some theses on the door at Wittenberg, And by the way, gave birth to us sitting here today. I'm sure I don't even know her name. But I'm sure she might have thought her life insignificant. And what did her impact have in the life of one? Beloved, are you going to leave a legacy to match your vision? And then are you going to leave it for somebody to pick up? Verse 9 says, "And Joshua the son of Nun was full of the spirit of wisdom, for Moses had laid his hands on him. So the people of Israel obeyed him and did as the Lord had commanded Moses." Moses leaves behind, one, a successor in Joshua, but two, he also leaves behind all that God had commanded. He puts all of the wisdom of his relationship with God there, and he passes it off to Joshua, and Joshua leads the people of Israel there because Moses has left something behind in the legacy. Do you have anything like that? You know, the scriptures are full of these instances. Elijah sets up the schools of the prophets as you go into Second Kings, and he's got a guy with him named Elisha. And what is it that he does? He models everything for Elisha. And as he's being taken into heaven, Elijah throws down his mantle. And the first thing that Elisha does is grab that mantle and hit the water. And then goes and does twice the number of miracles that Elijah did. David had a vision for the temple, but God said no. And so what did David do? David piled up resources, so that when Solomon took the temple, Solomon, his son, built the temple. David had it all laid out already for him right there. Jesus had a vision. Jesus had a vision of a worldwide order in which the people on the margins of society are no longer on the margins of society, but are brought into the table of humanity and sit together as one, not as others, but as one. Jesus had a vision of a place where people were healed, of where hearts were mended, where justice and righteousness reigned, where there was not an imbalance in the world, but that the world was perfectly balanced, where grace was experienced. And guess what, beloved? He left that to us. He passed on that vision, and you say, well, what did he leave with it? He said, I'm going to send you another. I'm going to send you the Holy Spirit, who will bring all these things to your mind and empower you to go. Beloved, we have a legacy given to us by Jesus. We have the ability to go forward and do it. And the question is for us today, are we doing it? Or are we just playing with our own stuff? If you play with your own stuff, you don't use what's been poured into you, and you don't seek to give it out, beloved, you're going to wind up on the pages of somewhere, forgotten. You say, Mark, I want to be forgotten. Yeah, I do too. But there's one person I want to remember me. There's one. And I want to make sure that I've given everything I can to her, to pour into her, so that I may be forgotten, but her life and her ministry lives beyond me. Beloved, have you picking up the mantle that is left for you today? Have you picking it up? Picking it up. That's great English, isn't it? Can't tell where I went to school. Have you picked it up? Have you picked up the mantle that Jesus left behind? You say, Mark, I can't beat all those people in the past. Beloved, I want you to notice something. Verse 8. And the people of Israel wept for Moses in the plains of Moab 30 days. Then the days of weeping and mourning for Moses were ended. They said, Moses was great, but now we got to go do something else. Now, beloved, whoever it is you want to match up in your life and say, I'll never top them, guess what? Their time has ended. If God had wanted them here still, he'd have left them here. But remember, there comes a point where God says no. And when that point happens in life where God says no to someone else, that means that God is saying yes to us or to somebody else to take up that walk and go with it. And so we are to go and take it up. And we're not to do it half-heartedly. Verse 7. Moses was 120 years old when he died. His eye was undimmed, and his vigor unabated. Let me ask you something, beloved. Have you given up yet? Have you given up? There are people I know who gave up, and they're still there, but they're essentially dead. And they're not doing anything. They're just there. And then there are people that I know who are older than those people, and they can outwork me. You know, it's easy to do what I think Eliza may have said it this morning. It's easy to do what we did when we got out of bed this morning, which was, oh, I have that joint still. I have that muscle right there. I thought I lost it years ago. And then I leaned over to her and I said, and I imagine how I'm going to be after I got homecoming in 3 weeks, 2 weeks. But yet, beloved, yesterday I saw a picture. And I'm if I leave your name out, I'm sorry, all right? But I'm gonna focus on different folks for just a second. I saw a picture of folks whose vigor has not abated and whose eyes have not dimmed with the vision of Grove Park. I saw it in 93-year-old Hazel Latham, who put on a mask. A Scream mask. And I guarantee you she hadn't watched Scream 1, 2, or 3. But she had it there and she's handing out candy. And next to her was Arnetta Petty. Down from them was Vivian Crawford and Sue Atkinson. On the other side of them was Matt and John and Ben. And so I can look at that, just those that right there, those seven. And I won't even go into all the other ones. And I can say, you know what, Mark? You can do it. You can do it. And you know what I can say to you too this morning, Grove Park? You can do it. You can do it. Because I know the history of Grove Park. I know the legacy of Grove Park. I know what has been left behind to us. And nowhere in my mind can I hear God saying to us at this moment in time, no. I do hear something that sounds similar, though. Go. 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 Into the uttermost parts of the world. Go to the neighbor across the street. I loved it when I heard stories of our people breaking the law by putting in, David, don't listen to this, by putting in flyers in their mailboxes, which the postman over here will tell us is illegal. That's going. Go and serve the people who don't have food. Go and serve the people in our community who are incarcerated or recently incarcerated and don't know where to go and don't feel welcome. Go into a future in which our planet looks dim, but we fight for environmental justice today. Go and make sure that people, in obedience to Matthew 25, have access to health care. Go, and in all these things, make sure that you leave behind good news today. Good news that there is hope. Good news that there is love. Good news that there is grace. Good news, beloved. Good news that there is joy. Because the world is dim and hellish, and the thing that people need right now is to know that there is joy. And it can be found in a relationship with Jesus Christ. But to do that, it means that you and I must pick up what has been left behind from 78 years of history and go running with vigor into the promised land that God has still set before us. So yes, beloved, we have been passed the baton. We are heading for home. And our job is to make sure that when we get time to pass that off the next time, that we nearly run them over because we still got the vigor to do it. Because this is the day that the Lord has made. Let us rejoice. And let me borrow a line from last week. And play in it. Let's pray. Well, Lord, I thank you that I don't hurt right now. And I thank you, Lord, that you still speak. And so, Lord, as the word has gone forth, I pray, Lord, it would be a word that lifts us from where we are and compels us to go to where you are calling us to. That, Lord, now scales would fall off eyes, that vision could be had, and shackles which would bind us to stay in place would be gone so that we could run into the place that you would have us to be. And Lord, if there's not vision for us, grant it. For we ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.
We hope you enjoyed today's message. Please note our schedule has been revised as of April 2021. Please join us on Sunday mornings for worship at 10 o'clock in the sanctuary at 108 Trail 1 in Burlington or on Facebook Live. For more information and resources regarding our church, please visit groveparkchurch.net. And remember, grace abounds.